Coming to you live from a fogged out apartment somewhere in the United States, it's the TH Cinema Podcast. Welcome everybody to the TH Cinema Podcast. My name is Diane, and with me as always is the... Fuck yeah, it's my America.
Somebody has no idea.
The M. Night Shyamalan to my plot twist.
Okay.
Somebody looks confused.
Snort.
Hello.
Silent John.
Hello.
And Frank couldn't be here today. So we just finished smoking a little bit of weed.
Mm-hmm.
And today we're doing our Independence Day episode. But something happened last week.
A tragedy.
A war crime.
The files. The files that were in the computer were no longer in the computer, and we lost the entirety of our Chucky episode.
I mean, it happens. I'm surprised it hasn't happened until now.
Yeah, the fact that we start every episode with, well, we just finished smoking a little bit of weed... should denote at least like a 5% failure rate in recordings.
I mean, when you think about how long we've kind of been going about this, it is really, really impressive. I think I was more like proud of us that it took this long when you dropped that news on us, Dan. I was just like, it was probably going to happen at some point. So go us for dragging it out as long as we could.
Yeah, this was the first dropped episode that we didn't have the ability to re-record after we dropped it by accident. So we watched Chucky last week, and we're leading into our Toys of Summer bit and all of that. And the setup was we were going to move from Chucky to this week's movie for Independence Day. I Know What You Did Last Summer, because that's an Independence Day horror movie.
Keep the spooky train rolling.
Keep the spooky train rolling. But it dawned on me, snort, and here's where the M. Night Shyamalan plot twist happens.
Okay, hold on. Is this his movie?
No. I'm just making a plot twist on you.
Oh, okay.
I'm about to blow your mind in the third act.
This is a twist coming your way right now.
Do you already know this twist?
As of like 4.5 minutes ago.
What?
I disclosed the twist to John already.
What's happening?
So I don't think that we can lead from Chucky into I Know What You Did Last Summer for Independence Day because we didn't watch a horror movie last week.
So,
on the record.
Are we watching something else today?
We're watching something else today.
Oh, no.
What are we watching? Because to continue our trend of toys of the Chucky Missed episode, and so we can get into next week's episode.
No, sorry, Snort.
We're watching Team America World Police.
No.
How crushed are you right now?
For this very reason.
Fuck, man. What? Oh. Okay. Damn.
I just figured to go from the unheard Chucky episode to a horror movie randomly and then go back to toys without having a toy on the front side seems a little weird. So we're continuing our summer days.
When did you think of this?
Like 3 hours ago.
Oh, this is a fresh idea.
This is fresh.
I thought you've been stewing on this.
Nope. This one's a fresh one.
Oh, I mean, it makes sense, I guess. God, now I'm even more disappointed. Our Chucky episode is gone.
You're going to forever hate Chucky now.
You know, guys, I was so excited to watch I Know What You Did Last Summer because I've never seen it and I really wanted to. Guess what? I've never seen this movie and I don't fucking want to.
And that's why the back half's going to be funnier.
Doing it for the people.
Do it for Chaz. That was the other reason, because when Chaz texted us this morning, it was like, hey guys, when are you doing I Know What You Did Last Summer? Fuck you, Chaz. Stop tapping our phones. You can't fucking predict what we're going to pick. That was the other catalyst.
Did you just rug pull Chaz? You dirty dog.
Yeah. The plot twist was also for Chaz, who's listening right now.
This shit is like Shrek, baby. We got the onions of layers. Wow.
That's why Dan figured it out 3 hours ago. I'm like, fucking Chaz.
Damn. Wow. Twist. Yeah, big twist. Did not see this one coming.
No, but let's go back to the episode that we did last week. So we did watch Chucky last week.
Child's Play.
Chucky. It's you just call it Chucky. That's like, you know, calling Halloween Michael Myers. I don't call Halloween Michael Myers, but...
Yeah, I was like, wait, hold on. Who does that?
And just to give everybody else a recap of what happened with the Chucky episode, let's see. We did...
We left the last episode off with you teasing us about your childhood trauma.
Yeah, basically Dan had a My Buddy doll. He saw Chucky at an early age over the summer one year, and the My Buddy doll was terrifying to him moving forward, and he had to throw out something that he really loved and was scared of it's going to come back and murder him. Dan's trauma.
Hence, traumatic event. And I got to say, I feel bad for the people out there. We really dug deep into this trauma, and I feel like we got somewhere with it. So I'm a little sad that people don't get to hear it.
Yeah, it's our lost therapy episode.
Yeah, I'm a little bit happy that people didn't get to see that vulnerable side of Dan on the show.
We get to keep that a little more mysterious for the folks out there.
Yeah. We also discussed a Gremlins versus Furbies movie.
Because Furbies is like the creepiest kid's toy.
Yep, hands down.
Yeah, they're just like little mini spawns of Satan. And I would like to see the Gremlins fight many spawns of Satan, personally.
We discussed horror movies that we saw at an early age.
Yeah. Blair Witch Project.
The whole motherfucking Saw franchise.
All of them, but mostly Chucky, which terrified and traumatized Dan. And then we talked about the doll himself, Mr. Charles P.
What?
Doll.
Charles P. Doll. Crispy Doll.
And we just talked about how campy the movie is and how when you say the plot of the movie, it sounds like it should be really, really stupid and really, really bad. But somehow it just works and it's so much fun.
Yeah, I won't say it's the best movie out there, but I mean, to have like a witchcraft kind of demonic doll running around incarnated in different little things. I don't know. It's a fucking wild ride. And I had a fun time.
Yeah, serial killers and dolls with CGI, clouds and lightning, and Michael Bay explosions. Ooh, we talked about defenestration for a little bit. That was fun.
That's your word.
The word,
my favorite word, defenestrate.
Is that the getting thrown out of a window?
That is getting thrown out of a window.
Yeah.
We talked a little bit about the Satanic Panic and how, you know, they changed that for voodoo in this movie. Yeah, we watched Child's Play. It was a funny episode that you're never going to get to hear. So just, like, paint your word picture with it.
You know, imagine us watching that movie.
Or you can go to, like, ChatGPT and be like, hey, chat, can you just write me the TH Cinema podcast about Child's Play? And probably be close to the same.
Hey, don't give away our secrets, man.
The robot is not leading us right now. But I did give away some secrets earlier. Because, Snort, we're going to be watching Team America World Police today. And I picked this, one, because of Chaz. Two, because I knew you were going to hate it. Three, because it was going to be an Independence Day movie. And four, because it's going to be a funny back end. And five, because, I mean, as much as it's Independence Day, just like last year, I mean, it's a little bit not as bad. It's still just as bad, but it hasn't gotten worse-ish.
Yeah, I think we're just like, meh to it.
Yeah, we're just on standby. We're on America's standby right now. We're waiting to see if we're going to get on the back on the plane or not.
We got that lukewarm kind of feeling right now.
But I did think that Team America World Police being a satirical movie about America's fucking puffed out chest of fireworks and explosions would be very fitting for our Independence Day episode.
I really don't know anything about this movie other than I will probably hate it.
Yeah, this is going to be one of those movies. And I'll go ahead and admit now, I actually haven't seen this movie either. I caught it on like Comedy Central way back when in bits and pieces all the time. I've seen chunks. I mean, I get the gist of it, but I haven't actually sat down and watched it. But from what I do know, Snort, yeah, hate's flowing right through those veins for you. But to be fair, I think we've had some instances on this podcast where, you know, sometimes we think these emotions are going to happen and then they don't. You could love this.
Oh, no. Absolutely.
Oh, come on.
No.
You got to go into an open mind.
Are they like puppets or what?
Marionettes. Marionettes are different than puppets.
Oh, my gosh. No.
Okay. No. Hold on. Before we get started describing this film and like the plots and all the stuff, like what? Talk about, before we get started, I want to take an over and under on how many times Snort is going to sigh, groan, react to something that Dan says in this next rapid fire segment of things that are in this movie.
Damn. What's the highest number I can go?
I mean, are we going to go like, let's just go like all of them and then like negatives.
All of the numbers?
Like all the ones that Dan says, is she going to groan at, or is there going to be like one she doesn't or two she doesn't? Like,
I'm guessing all of them.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to go rapid fire and just describe little things about this movie to see what Snort's reaction is going to be. All right, you ready?
Mm.
This is a movie by the guys that made South Park.
No.
It is.
No. That's just like the only... I've never watched South Park. No, not my thing. No.
This is a movie that came out in 2004.
Yikes.
3 years post 9/11.
Oh no! Oh no! Do they make fun of that in this? Is that referenced in this? Oh no!
This movie had to be cut down to be a rated R movie from NC-17.
Even though it's puppets.
Even though it's puppets, let your imagination run wild.
Full puppet.
Matt Damon's in this.
Oh my god. Good thing I like Ben Affleck more.
George Clooney's in this?
No. Are you serious?
They're just having some fun.
No.
Susan Sarandon's in this?
What? See, after you said George Clooney, Matt Damon I knew, but the latter two I did not. But after you said Clooney, now anybody can show up, I feel.
Sean Penn's in this.
Yeah, see, it makes sense.
They're all voiced by the South Park guys.
Wait,
never mind.
What?
They're just puppets.
Oh, but their voice... Why? That's a random group of people to be in this.
2004.
Susan Sarandon is like the outlier. I feel like I don't get that one.
It stars a Broadway actor. He's our main character.
Like, that's who voices this person, or...
That's the puppet's character. Sorry, Marionette's character.
I don't care. No.
Yeah, I don't think anything you can say, Dana's going to change.
That doesn't make me any more excited for this movie.
Snort's perspective.
I'm not trying to make you excited. I'm just trying to, like, put a pillow down, soften the blow a little bit.
Oh, it's my skin's crawling, like, honestly.
It's like you put down, like, a concrete pillow, you know?
Does it feel like you're about to take a trip to the dentist? Is that where we're at? Like, that kind of, like... Ugh.
Yeah, like I just feel like, ugh, like I'm on the edge now. Oh, God. How long is this?
3.5 hours.
No, like 2:15 tops.
What?
No, buck 30, man. Buck 30.
Oh,
just
God.
Keep saying times. One of them's accurate.
Is there sequels of this?
No, no. This would not work in today's climate at all, in any regard, at all, 0 degrees at all.
Is this like really like,
yeah.
Like, what's it about?
Well, America.
Fuck
yeah.
I get it.
It's about America.
Fuck yeah. Where's it about?
America.
Fuck yeah. I'm just preparing you for the movie. That's all I'm trying to do.
I hate everything so much right now.
This movie is essentially, there was a show in the 1970s or 80s called The Thunderbirds that was all done with marionettes.
Why?
And
that was the effect of their special effects. That's all I had.
And this is the rah-rah America version of it, making fun of rah-rah Americanism.
How was this movie perceived when it came out?
By Teenage Dan?
Sure. We'll go Teenage Dan and then just the general public.
I want both sides.
I think it was fuck yeah, but we were still also fuck yeah on Limp Bizkit at that point, so.
This is an easy thing to be into for America around 2004.
Were you a South Park guy?
Oh yeah, I was a South Park kid.
Were you?
A little bit. It wasn't loved by me like a lot of other people. But there's definitely some episodes that I could still go back and just be like, that's fucking great TV.
It was big when I was in college, like high school and college. Like that's when South Park's era was. So obviously, there's no getting around it. Much like being a Limp Bizkit fan in Florida.
Well, and I mean, especially at that time, I mean, South Park is still on. Obviously, it's still popular, but like, I feel like it was, I don't want to say it's peak, but that was like prime South Park. Like, oh my God, You Killed Kenny. That shit was everywhere.
Oh, we were yelling it at each other all the time, pre-GIF era.
Yeah.
Like, it was just Eric Cartman fucking impressions, and
you could create your South Park characters online. You remember that shit? You customize them however you wanted?
Oh, yeah. I had that shit on my fucking Angel Fire profile, bitch.
They had, like, all, like, the wrestling South Park characters. They were everywhere.
Wow.
It's a phenomenon.
I've never seen a single episode of it at all. I don't like adult cartoons like that. I like child cartoons, not that kind of stuff.
You're more of a Disney.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, are we ready to go ruin the rest of Snort's day?
I think that sigh says it all.
Fuck yeah.
I even wore my spooky shirt because I thought we were watching a spooky movie.
And now, our feature presentation.
I found the movie, Snort and John, brought some snacks, and we're back. And we just watched Team America World Police.
Okay, well, do you want me to go ahead and start?
I don't know. Is yours better at the beginning or the end?
I'm just going to say what I have to say now. Like, it doesn't matter. One, I'm moving to Canada. I can't be associated with this movie at all. This is maybe the worst movie I've ever seen in my entire life. I'm just going to say a couple of my notes that I have about this movie just from the very beginning that has, like, no context to, like, specific things, okay? First, I already hate this before you even hit the play button. I'm scared. This is going to give me nightmares. Did people really pay to see this?
That's tough.
Who thought this was a good idea? I hope their faces melt off during this movie. This isn't even funny. I want to puke. That came back to haunt me. And I'm going to rip my eyeballs out. And I'll just leave it with America, fuck off.
Dan, I think we somehow erased some of your trauma last week and put some new trauma onto Snort this week.
Yeah, how the fuck are you not afraid of this? You're afraid, you were scared of Chucky, but you aren't freaked out by these things? They're so, oh my God.
They all have a little like uncanniness to them, I would say.
It's the Trey Parker and the Matt Stone of it all. I was fine with it.
No.
Well, thank you for your notes, Snort. John, what about you? Where's your first Team America World Police feelings?
Off the top rope, here it comes. I hated it. I'm not the audience for this, I don't think. This is one of the first times in a while where I just feel like I just didn't feel anything. I just felt numb. I felt almost dumber for watching this. And don't get me wrong, I get the message. I get some of the things we're trying to poke fun at and present here. But by the end of this, it almost felt like somebody drilled a hole into my head and poured acid. The old, what is this, the Dahmer playbook that we're working with here? I think I'm defeated.
I would have preferred someone to do that. It was so bad. It was so bad.
I don't disagree at all in any circumstance. Okay, this movie is not bad in a good way. This movie's, it's bad. You know, this was at the peak of the 2002 college-aged kids, the height of humor. We didn't have, like, you know, better taste back then.
No, I see. And that's the thing, is knowing that this is a 2004 movie, it just pained me the whole time, knowing like how much people are like, oh, fuck yeah, Team America, like when this came out. Maybe that's it too. Maybe if I would have caught it, you know, when it originally did come out, I wouldn't have bitter disdain for it. But I guess me with my adult eyes was just like, this is a tough one. This is a very, very tough one. I will give it credit. I thought the production of it was honestly fantastic. I loved the idea of the marionettes, but maybe this is just one of those instances where my movie snobbiness comes in and I'm just like, give me Guillermo del Toro doing this. Give me Wes Anderson doing this. Not fucking the South Park boys.
No, I hated the dolls. They were so creepy. It unlocked a fear for me. You know what I should admit? You better watch your motherfucking back, because I could do a switcheroonie on you one day. And I'm going to make you watch.
No, don't say it out loud. Don't say it out loud. Don't even say the words. Don't even say the fucking word.
Megan.
Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. Now,
no, fuck you. Fuck America.
That's all I see in my head, is that little fucking thing.
See, this is the thing, Dan. Now you've cracked something open here, where somehow we're all going to get fucked at one point in time during this podcast.
I've opened up the fucking challenges right now.
I think so.
Pandora's
it's
box.
More. Yeah. Like, it's on.
Oh, gosh. I'm going to walk into the theater for Barbie, and it's just going to be the thing on the screen. You paid somebody off.
Every seat has a little Megan doll in it.
They'll look at me. Ah, nope. All right, so we start this movie off with Puppets in Paris, right? And we pull out from the smaller terrifying marionettes to the larger terrifying marionettes. And that's when your fear really started setting in, because this is where you first saw them.
It like literally made my skin crawl. Like, I was so squirmy over here because it was freaking me out so much. I hated those. I hate them all.
And the terrorists have the bomb, but then Team America fucking World Police comes fucking swooping in to save the fucking day.
As America fucking does. Don't you know?
We get a little bit of puppet fighting, and then the fucking terrorists are running away, and they shoot down the Eiffel Tower.
It's almost like one of the central goals of this movie was to have America blow up as many, like, national monuments and figures that they possibly could.
Fuck yeah.
Because that's how we saved the world.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, they blew up the Louvre, and I was pissed.
But they stopped the terrorists with the bomb.
And that's all that matters.
Another thing that matters in this movie is love, because Lisa's getting proposed to by Carson of Team America World Police fame. But in doing so, he ends up getting shot. And this is going to be a major plot point moving forward in the love story that we're going to be talking about extensively.
I wrote down that I've never felt like absolutely nothing as when someone's dying in a movie as much as I had at that point. Like, I was so happy he was dying. Like, just let him all die.
You just met him 3 minutes ago and it's fine now?
Yeah.
Well, we also get to meet, directly after this, we meet Gary, who comes out debuting in AIDS the Musical.
The worst musical performance in a movie. I don't know, there's another one that gives it a run for its money.
In the same movie?
Yes.
Are all the worst ones all in this movie?
Yes.
Just so you know, Trey and Matt are, like, EGOT contenders.
Good for them. I don't give a fuck.
They wrote Book of Mormon.
Good for them. I don't give... They also wrote this ferocious movie.
Ferocious. Horrible and ferocious at the same time. But Gary's got a fucking dark past that we allude to a little bit. You know, we get a little bit of, like, the PTSD eyes in the marionette, but he's getting propositioned to come do some fucking spy work for the government.
And this kind of feels like one of, you know, the main topics we kind of want to explore with this movie, is just how great of a country America is and how you should just drop everything and fight for it. Because if not, we're going to brainwash you with terrorists. They are coming specifically for you, Gary. Maybe not specifically for you, but I'm going to tell you. They're coming for you, bud.
Yeah, big fucking lens of 2000s America. Yeah, post-9/11 world.
It's like they're walking on eggshells and trying to do anything they can to get you to join the forces. Because if not, we're all going to die. Every single person.
Fuck yeah. So he gets into the Transformer limo and they fly up to the fucking secret base that's hidden in Mount Rushmore, cause America.
Fuck yeah.
During this part, I got really mad because it dawned on me. I was like, we should have just watched fucking National Treasures 2. They go to Mount Rushmore in that movie too, and that would have been way better.
It's okay. They're going to take his face off at some point.
Oh, God.
And here we meet the team and get the lowdown, and the terrorists have got WMDs, because it's the 2000s. You got WMDs everywhere.
Every bad person has them.
Everybody.
What is that?
Weapons of mass destruction. That's why we went into Iraq, for the WMDs.
That was our excuse, everybody.
Mm-hmm. And the terrorists are going to make like 1,000 9/11s happen.
All the 9/11s. It's like a super 9/11 is on the horizon in this movie.
And they need Gary to infiltrate this terrorist group because of his absurd acting talent. A page right out of Tinker Soldier Sailor Spy.
You're close.
I'm so fucking close. I just watched Team America World Police. Give me some fucking credit that I got all four words. But Gary needs a little bit of time to reflect on what's being asked of him.
Rightfully so. I mean, that's a heavy burden to put on such a prominent actor.
That's a big ask. He's a Broadway star. He doesn't need to be doing this, but he's an American. So he goes around Washington, D.C., and this montage, I love this little montage, like everything from a ridiculousness standpoint, because it looks like it's just like them walking around D.C. with a puppet, two guys, one of them's got a Motorola Razr phone, they ain't got no permits, they're just snapping pictures and putting them in a major motion picture.
With like the cringiest like America country song playing in the background. Oh, I did not like it. Did not like it.
It definitely at least fit the theme of the message they were trying to really push. I maybe my favorite scene in the whole movie, I will say, just because of that same feeling like it's just like a big eye roll moment.
Yeah, but somebody who's not into America at this point is fucking North Korea, who's being run by dictator Kim Jong-il at this point. And Kim Jong-il is in league with the terrorists.
The League of Terrorists?
Yeah, like, well, not like the League of Terrorists. Like, it's not like the IRA and fucking Hezbollah, fucking everybody had a fucking meeting or whatnot. Like, he's in league with. He's teaming up with. They're buddies.
They're building a super team, I get you.
Yeah, they're a little relationship. Yeah, okay. You know. And he's, like, supplying them with all this stuff. He's giving them the WMDs, right? That's North Korea's place in all this.
I didn't realize that. In the movie.
But Gary's like, at this point, he's like, okay, I'm all in. I'm all American. I've seen all the fucking sights. But before he goes on this mission, they've got to take his face off and give him a new face so that he fits in with the terrorist crowd.
When they said that and the scene started, I was like, oh no. I was like, this is not going to be good.
Oh, it wasn't.
And I don't know if it was either as bad as I thought it was going to be, or if it was worse than I thought it was going to be. I don't know where I fall in line on this one, I guess.
It's as worse as it was expected to be. Because, yeah, it was pretty bad. But directly after they sit Gary down, they tell him what's going on, and then we get the fucking song.
Oh, the quintessential America song?
The America song. As they're rolling out.
Leave it to the U.S. of motherfucking A to be tooting their own horns going into battle. I swear, that is the most American thing I'll ever see in my life.
I just hate so much that the phrase and like the song America, fuck yeah, is like such a like iconic like phrase, especially like with 4th of July and stuff, you know? And it came from this fucking movie. Like, it makes me so mad.
That
I've probably said America, fuck yeah, at some point in my life before seeing this movie. I'm so mad about it now.
For unknowingly referencing this at some point.
You're more of a, danger zone kind of person for America.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise every day.
Well, we danger zone into motherfucking Egypt because Gary's getting dropped off to go infiltrate this terrorist group. And he walks into the Mos Eisley Cantina from Star Wars.
Also, I'm very mad about all the Star Wars references in this movie.
First of many.
And he, after a little bit of tenseness, he convinces the terrorists in this, like, terrorist Mos Eisley Cantina, like, hey, I'm one of you.
So is this to be told as, like, are we portraying the terrorists as they're just insanely stupid by his little get-up that America has given him? Or is it he just such a damn good actor that he can just weasel on through?
It's because he's such a damn good actor. And he acts so well that they take him in as one of their own. They divulge all their plans, but somebody sees Team America World Police out there. So they're like, oh shit, we gotta fucking run. So they scoop up Gary because he's one of them now. And they take off. And we get a fucking little chase scene with a couple of little Barbie cars through the streets of Barbie, Egypt.
We just have more shit to blow up. That's all it is. We need to come ruin some other countries.
Yeah, Temple of Ramses, gone. Pyramids of Giza, gone. Fucking terrorist jeep going off into the Sphinx and blowing that up, gone. America, fuck yeah.
Another thing I will say I do appreciate is like the action sequences like this, or even something as simple as all of these characters just walking. Just the absurdity of them just kind of hobbling around like... really not doing much.
Like the opening puppet
fight?
Yes,
just, it's a slap fight. That's all it is.
I hated any time they were walking around. That was the creepiest thing that they could do. No. It's like their little, like little walking.
That was one of the best, come on.
No.
But Gary does get rescued before the fucking Jeep blows up in the Sphinx. And everything's destroyed. But now this is where we start to meet our actor friends, because they got a problem with all of this death and destruction happening around the world.
I don't know. I kind of was annoyed with the whole actor thing. And once again, I get it. I get it. It's poking fun at all these activists and, you know, progressive people that are all actors, which are even stronger than ever, even in today's world. But I was just over it pretty fucking quickly.
Yeah, all I could think was like, wow, we used to make fun of this and this is now the norm.
Yeah, exactly.
On both sides of the coin. For everybody, including Matt Damon.
Fucking Matt Damon.
He loves crypto.
Also, since Matt Damon's in here, we mentioned him on the first half. Man, who knew that we were going to get a shot at Ben Affleck later on in the movie, too? What the fuck? What did he ever do to these guys?
Matt Damon.
Fucking Matt Damon.
But Team America doesn't care what the actors are saying because they're having a little victory party. And Gary, though, he's not feeling too, like, victorious because he's having, like, all these emotions. Because this is where Gary tells Lisa his dark secret from his past.
It's like she's cocking ready to rock. What do you got?
Nothing. I have absolutely nothing. Except that, yes, it's your fucking fault your brother died, you idiot. It's not the fucking blueberry's fault. Not the gorilla's fault. It's fucking yours.
America, fuck yeah.
I guess I'm just upset that they didn't show it. In a movie that's just so fucking stupid and absurd, give me some gorilla marionettes. Why not? Why not?
I will say at this point, I do remember looking over at Snort, and I don't know if it was just because you were so brain-sucked or so taken aback at the absurdity of it, but you were like somewhat laughing and giggling at that scene.
She was just trying to cope with what was going on.
I think that's also whenever I was acting out, ripping out my eyeballs.
Yeah, same time. But you should have saved ripping out those eyeballs because Gary and Lisa have a moment and then they go have a fucking moment.
Look, I'm into some weird shit when it comes to movies. I'll be the first to admit it, okay? But I guess just puppet fucking or marionette fucking, whatever you want to call it.
Marionette.
Maybe it's just not for me. I don't know.
This scene was cut down to get down to the R rating.
Oh, this is the one that it took.
I literally can't imagine like what they had to cut from it. Looks like.
Would you like to know?
Yeah. What did they?
It was the scene where she took a dump on his chest.
Well, my guess was going to be fluids. I guess that's kind of close in a sense. Why was it going to go on as long as the puke fucking does in this movie?
Yeah, yeah.
Of course.
But down in Panama, there's some fucking shit going down at the canal. Because it's going all fucking Michael Bay with explosions and puppets getting washed away in a tsunami.
I realized another one of my notes, not specific to the scene. Where the fuck are all these puppets now? Like, after the movie, where are these? We need to throw them in a pile, catch them on fire, and get rid of them.
There's at least three in your attic right now.
No, there's not.
Isn't there, though?
No, there's not.
They could be anywhere.
I think I know who's in your closet, though.
Shut up. Don't say your name. Alec Baldwin comes out swinging. He's like, fucking Team America World Police. They're the whole reason. The shit in Egypt was the whole reason the shit in Panama went down, this whole fucking tragedy. And Gary's a big Alec Baldwin fan. I mean, he's the greatest actor known to man.
Alec Baldwin was the last person I expected to be agreeing with in this movie.
So Gary takes his words and he's like, fuck, man, I can't do this anymore. I got to quit the team. But Team America's got to go on without him. Because they got to go out to the Middle East. But Michael Moore comes swinging and suicide bombs the fuck out of their base.
Once again, I don't need it. I don't need all these. I don't know. I think this is a part of the movie, honestly, where I just kind of went brain dead, more or less.
It wasn't like within the first 3 minutes.
It was, but you know me. I try to give everything a fair shot, and so I was pushing through. But I don't know. This is where I think I just kind of
powered down, standby mode,
just a little bit.
Well, North Korea comes out and fucking takes out Team America World Police while they're trying to get into the Middle East. Shoots down their fucking, like, planey planes. And Kim Jong-il comes out and he sings a sad song. His sad, I'm so lonely soliloquy.
This was the runner-up for worst musical performance. It was bad.
It was. It was bad and racist, and there was a lot of bad and racist things all over this movie.
Yeah.
Americanism was very, very strong in 2004. Freedom fries, motherfuckers.
So let me just stop here for a second. How much backlash was there when this movie did come out because of that? Because everybody was super, hard on for America if you're an American at that time. Like, was it a widely like, fuck yeah thing? Or was there a lot of people who were like, I mean, did we need to do this?
There was probably a lot more backlash for the fact that it's puppets engaged in adult behavior and that's appealing to children than it was for the racism in the movie.
Dang, yeah, that's probably true.
Okay, tell me if I'm wrong, but how I would think of it with the people that made this movie is, yes, there's obvious like racism and stuff in this movie, but they're like kind of making fun of people thinking that, you know? But the people that were going to see this movie, were they in on that joke or did they actually enjoy it because they didn't get the joke because they're like shit people?
I think it's a mix of the rest. And I think even probably to this day, you probably got people who watch this in complete unironic fashion of America, fuck yeah, fuck them terrorists. Like, I'm sure that there's people who see this as a Top Gun-esque picture of what America should be while being humorous with marionettes.
Oh, God.
Yeah, there's definitely some people like, you're Team America's top five USA movie all time. Mm-hmm. Real quiz essential.
Mm-hmm. If you love America, watch these movies.
And if you don't, fuck you.
Fuck yeah. But we've also got Gary, and Gary's like fucking down, right? Gary's fucking down, he's drinking at the bar, and he meets this old tramp, and this old tramp gives him this very motivating speech about dicks, pussies, and assholes.
Who knew it was going to be such a resonating speech either? I mean, what better way to get a point across than talking about fucking with dicks and pussies? I mean, really.
I will say that for as terrible as this movie is and everything it is as it is and as raunchy as it is, that fucking little fucking speech, it's also very clever writing and it's very well done.
Yeah. Weirdly, I kind of agree. It's over the top, don't get me wrong. But in the scope of the movie, I had that thought. I was like, I mean, yeah. I mean, you're not wrong, though.
But Gary's also at rock bottom right now because he's like in the alley and he's fucking losing it. And he's vomiting for a scene that goes on Family Guy style way too fucking long.
So bad.
Another eyeball ripping scene?
Yes. Yeah.
At that point, you're probably just digging in the back of the socket getting whatever
remains were left. Yeah, they're already gone.
You're just pulling out brain matter at that point.
Like I told you, I wrote earlier in the movie, I want to puke because I hated this movie so much, and it came back to haunt me.
So now we cut over to Alec Baldwin, and he's still, like, fucking around, right? He's trying to, like, join forces with Kim Jong-il because they're going to fucking, like, take over the world and make the world a better place. And Team America, though, they're getting tortured in this North Korean prison cell below the palace or wherever Kim Jong-il's living.
I'll be honest, I kind of forgot that there were prisoners in this movie. Are prisoners. Oh, shit, the movies, it's tarting me. I can't talk like that.
And Gary's still trying to find out if this is what he wants to do, if he wants to go back or not. So he's on his little motorcycle, like, scooting around America from sea to shining sea, taking in all that America has to offer, Purple Mountain's majesty.
There's one shot in this little American motorcycle montage where the camera just fucking hits him and knocks him over. And then it just cuts back to him on a motorcycle.
And he ends up over at Mount Rushmore. And that's when he finally sees what Michael Moore has done and blown up the base. So he runs up to the fucking base and he's like, oh, fucking boss, like, I want to come back. What can I do? And the boss survived the explosion. The boss is like, well, there's only one way to prove your loyalty to America.
Is this, I mean, it's a dig at Hollywood, I feel like, in a sense, right? Because this is a thing that they push multiple times. Like, hey, you know, do me a little favor.
Oh, yeah, this is pre-Me Too. Little fucking like sites, you know, from Trey Parker and Matt Stone knowing the inside scoop of Hollywood. Yeah. But he does prove his loyalty to America and his duty. Duty. And then it's time for a fucking montage.
Because, you know, we just don't have enough time. We don't have enough time to fit in all the progress that we've made here.
No, you need a montage for this kind of stuff. But then it's showtime because the event at Kim Jong-il's palace or whatnot is going down. All the celebrities are there, all the world leaders. And Team America's locked in the basement. And Gary needs to infiltrate the palace. So he goes to the gates and using his ludicrous acting ability, Jedi mind tricks his way into the event.
Once again, just angry with reference. I do have a question, though, since we have all the celebrities there, because now there's, like, even more. Which celebrity doll did you think, like, looked the most like them?
Oh, Alec Baldwin's, 100%.
Really, you think?
His was good, but I thought Samuel L. Jackson's was, like, top-notch.
That's the one I thought, too, looked just like him.
So Gary gets into the fucking palace and takes out a couple of guards. And then, like, downstairs, the guards are like, hey, Tim Robbins and fucking Ethan Hawke, I think. I don't know, Sean Penn, somebody. Like, go back up to the lobby. Fucking Gary's here. And then he takes his face off. And it's actually Gary there to rescue the whole squad. Were you surprised?
No.
She was just disappointed.
Well, I was really disappointed the next scene, because the next scene was when we got Alec Baldwin telling people to go grab some guns.
I mean, granted, it took a while for it to come back around, but a lot of foreshadowing between that. I mean, the whole gorilla thing kind of reminded me of Harambe in a sense. I mean, we've got 9/11 stuff going on. There's just a lot of weird energy with this movie.
Do we have Simpsons-level predictions?
Possibly.
Terrorist attacks in Paris?
Ooh.
Ooh.
What the fuck do they know, or did they know?
And all these actors grab these guns at the behest of Alec Baldwin, and they wage war with Team America World Police, who are now free from their clutches of the North Koreans. And they have shootouts in the hallway. They defenestrate Susan Sarandon.
Hey.
Kind of. I don't know if defenestration counts if it's off a balcony.
Does there have to be, like, glass broken for it to count?
I don't think there has to be glass broken. I think it has to be specifically through a window. I think there might be another word for a balcony. Balconifenestration. No, it's not going to work.
It's a lot.
It's a mouthful.
How do you think we got to where we are, Dave?
What can I say? I'm loyal. So they take care of all the celebrities, and then Gary takes the stage, and he's trying to, like, convince the world leaders, like, hey, don't join up with fucking Kim Jong-il. And he rephrases the dick's pussies and assholes speech, and everybody kind of, like, gets on board with it, except for Kim Jong-il.
Well, of course, he's not on board with this. Why? He's getting fucked.
Yeah, he's the asshole.
Well, it's this scene that kind of, like, where it really shows that somewhat good writing with that dialogue is because, yeah, that's the point in time where America is kind of, like, finally being the hero. You're like, hey, he's got it all right. We got to work together for this one fucking guy who's going to kill everybody. But I hate that I'm giving it this much credit. I know, I really do.
Well, he kills fucking Alec Baldwin for betraying him. Kim Jong-il does. And then fucking Lisa from Team America World Police, she throws him off a balcony. There's a lot of balcony tossing happening in this movie.
Yeah, you really got to figure out that word.
I do. I could have used it twice already. And he falls on a German guy's helmet, which is pointy because he's a German guy, and dies. Gary stops the countdown. All the nukes that were supposed to go off at the same time don't.
With 1 second to spare.
Bum, bum, bum. But then, Kim Jong-il transforms into a giant cockroach and takes off in a little spaceship for the sequel.
No.
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 You said there wasn't a sequel.
There isn't. Okay. Yet. Good. I'm buying all these marionettes and I'm going to make it. And make you watch it next 4th of July.
We will kill them all with fire. Why did nobody just squash him when he's a little cockroach? He ran across the table of like 6 people. No one could just...
That's what I thought was going to happen.
I mean, proportionally, it was a big cockroach. He was like that big, proportionally. That was a big cockroach. Because he's a space monster.
What?
America. Fuck yeah.
Was that the end of the movie?
That's the end of the movie. We got to the end.
Oh my God.
You're done reliving your trauma from an hour and a half ago.
I don't think she is, though, because now, Dan, any time she sees the red, white, and blue in any fashion, she's instantly going to think of this now. Instantly. And you know what they say. Freedom ain't free.
Fuck yeah. And that was Team America World Police.
A movie I never thought I'd watch. I would have to watch. I thought I was going to die without seeing this movie, and I was perfectly okay with that. And you ruined it.
Fuck yeah.
They have come in to ruin the motherfucking day. That's more appropriate.
All right, well, I'm sorry for ruining your 4th of July. Firework sound effect.
This movie was like the sparklers of fireworks. Just a lot of fizzle.
I think it's the pooping dog.
Yes, I like sparklers. This is not a sparkler.
Well, you think of fireworks, you think of artillery shells, and no, I didn't feel that watching this. So, but I do like the shitting fireworks. That's more appropriate.
All right, guys. Well, luckily for Snort and everybody else, the summer days does continue because we do have another toy movie for next week.
That we do. Guys, I think I get to throw a movie in the ring of favorite childhood toy movies. I still don't know where we're going with all this, but toys seem to be the main theme here. And when I was younger, there was one that just, I couldn't stop watching. I had that soft shell VHS of it, baby. And that movie was Small Soldiers.
Ooh, Gorgonites.
Forever. I am a big Gorgonite head, and I am so excited to revisit this movie, especially with you guys next week. I think it's going to be a blast. I will say I haven't seen it in a long time. I feel pretty good that it'll hold up. I think there's a lot of like kind of adult themes in this movie, and there's some good actors who pop up. And I can't fucking wait.
I'm actually really excited to watch this because I haven't seen it in a long time either. And I swear to God, because I'm excited for this, if somebody changes it next week, I'm going to be so mad.
Well, I can't change it next week because it's John's pick. So
I think you're safe. I will sign a bill into existence right now. We will watch Small Soldiers. for next week's episode. I assure you, my people, okay?
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah.
And in addition to watching one of John's favorite movies, I think we're going to have a special guest with us next week also.
I wasn't sure if you were going to announce it or not.
You're so excited.
But you're going to have to wait till next week to find that out. So if you want to watch Small Soldiers and find out who our special guest is,
make sure to follow along on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter at THCinema Podcast. Make sure to go give us 5 stars, leave a review, subscribe, follow all of the things everywhere. Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Wow. Didn't expect you to say it.
I didn't say the whole thing.
All right, but that is going to do it for this week's episode. So if you see 3 marionettes fucking bumping into each other and fighting to save the motherfucking world now, and they're all really, really high, come over and say hi. That might just be us. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Fuck yeah!
Fuck off.
Why is there a cricket? Oh, it's gone.
It heard you. It left.
Yeah. He's like, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt the recording.
On the second half, our special guest.
Cricket!
Chirp, 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 chirp. I should do for the second half. I should practice the Jennifer Coolidge the hot dog quote to see if I could do it. That's a good voice.
No, no, you're gonna be so just like, okay, you remember when, you know how when you watch a movie and your brain is like sapped?
Yeah. Can
that's you in an hour and a half.
Can Jennifer Coolidge pull me out of that though?
Nothing's pulling you out of this. This is no, nothing's pulling you out of this.
This might make you go from lukewarm to bitterly cold on America, I feel like, honestly.
This might make you go from, like, not appreciating Trey Parker and Matt Stone in South Park to literally wanting to assassinate them.
Oh, my God.
That amount of hate. Like, these people need to be dealt with.
Is this going to be the hardest movie for me to get through that we've done?
Fuck yeah.